السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، الله سبحانه وتعالى has made this world a place of happiness and sadness. There is not a single person who comes in this world and he will not experience either one of these two. The ratios may differ. There may be someone whose life is 50% happiness, 50% sadness, 50% moments of happiness, 50% moments of adversity. And there may be another person whose life is 80% happiness, 20% sadness. Or 80% sadness, 20% happiness. But every single person will experience both of these. So before even moving on, the first thing that we must understand is that if a person has this expectation that I will not face any grief, I should not face any grief in this world. No adversity should come on me. No situation should come on me that causes me grief, that causes me a bit of stress. Then he is deluded. Yes, our deen does teach us that within the boundaries of permissibility, staying within the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, avoid adversity as much as possible. Our deen doesn't say put difficulty upon yourself unnecessarily. At the same time, if difficulty comes upon a person, he will feel upset. He may feel grieved. Naturally so. But at the same time, for a mu'min, there is also reason to be happy. Why? Because if a mu'min understands his goal, that my goal is success in the hereafter, my goal is Jannah, my goal is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that goal can be achieved in happiness and sadness. It is not the case that in happiness that goal can be achieved, but in sadness that goal cannot be achieved. It is just like a person, he has made an intention that I want to go for a holiday. I want to go for a holiday to so-and-so country. So, he has a flight booked. Now if he reaches the airport, and he comes to find out that the flight is cancelled, this will cause him grief because it is a barrier to his destination. But if he goes to the airport and the flight is running as usual, but whilst getting on the flight there is a large crowd, it is a very crowded flight, the plane seats are not the most comfortable, the airline that he has chosen, so he will feel discomfort. He will feel discomfort, naturally. But at the same time, he will feel happy that I am getting closer to my destination. The entire flight trip, maybe the seat is not to his, is not the best. Maybe his companion is not the best. So it's possible the entire flight time, he's feeling discomfort. But at the same time, at the back of his head, he will have this happiness and this satisfaction that I am getting closer to my destination. So when a simple journey from here to another country has moments of where a person feels happy, where it is enjoyable, it is relaxing, and moments where there is difficulty, then the journey to the hereafter is most definitely going to have both. Sometimes the scenery is nice, sometimes the scenery is not so nice. So both will come in our travels. And like I said, there are many, many wisdoms to that. One very simple wisdom, that every person feels joy, every person feels sadness, every person feels success, and every person tastes failure as well, is that ultimately our destination is either a place where there is nothing but joy or a place where there is nothing but sadness, nothing but grief. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a taste of both of them in this world, so we understand what we can gain and what we can lose. If I tell you that there is a fruit that is called mango, it is of this color, it tastes like this, but you have never seen it, you have never tasted it, then you can never truly comprehend what it tastes like, the enjoyment. But if you, for example, see someone eating mangoes, and he's eating mangoes, enjoying himself, now you get a bit more understanding of what a mango tastes like. And if someone says that, look, you come with me to India and you'll get loads of mangoes, but I have money to get a mango for you here, and he gives you a taster, now you get even more of an idea. So in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us samples of happiness and grief in this world, so we understand what the eternal happiness of Jannah will taste like, and what the eternal grief of Jahannam will taste like to some degree. That is one wisdom. But I was saying that in happiness and in sadness, we can be progressing. The flight to Jannah can still carry on. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٌ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, how astonishing, how amazing is the condition of a mu'min, that whichever condition he is in, it is good for him. Why? إِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ سَرَّاءَ شَكَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. If good times come upon him, happiness comes upon him, then he can be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he gets closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gets closer to Jannah, that's good for him. He's getting closer to Jannah. He's getting closer to his destination. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّاءَ صَبَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. If difficulty comes upon him, hard times, then he can do sabr. He can remain patient, and that is also good for him. He is still carrying on, he is reaching his destination. In fact, in light of the Quran and the Ahadith, we understand that the speed at which a person can reach Jannah, he can progress in the hereafter through difficulty, is much more than the speed which he can progress in good times. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he narrates an incident. So he must have heard this from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is about the hereafter. He says that on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he rewards those people who had adversity in this world, who had a lot of difficulty in this world, those people who, when we look at them, we feel nothing but pity for them. Maybe they have a lifelong health condition that leaves them disabled. Maybe they live in a country where there is no security. They live in a war zone. Maybe they have no family around them. Life has treated them very harshly. And when we see them, then we think they have nothing. That is what we feel like when we see them in this world. But if such a person, he has iman, Allah Ta'ala gives him the tawfiq to do sabr, then Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu narrates that on the day of judgment, when those people whose lives were full of harshness, the moments of happiness were far and few in between, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the reward of that sabr, then those people who had lives full of happiness, they will wish that we had lives full of adversity as well, so that we could have received the same thing. In fact, the words of Ali radiallahu anhu is that they would wish that in this world, the skin and the flesh would have been cut with razors. Such adversity would have befallen on them so that they could have reaped the reward of it in the hereafter. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu, there was a time in the era of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the first 13 years in the era of Makkah Mukarramah. In Makkah Mukarramah. Thereafter, at the very least, the first 5-6 years in Madinah Munawwarah, where it was very difficult. There was days of starvation. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the doors of wealth, of ease. So there were some Sahaba who saw both eras. And there were some Sahaba who they passed away before they saw the second era. They only saw the era of harshness. One of those Sahaba who only saw the era of harshness was Sayyidina Mus'ab ibn Umayr radiallahu anhu. And one of those Sahaba who saw both eras was Sayyidina Abdurrahman ibn Awf radiallahu anhu. So it is after the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Awf radiallahu anhu, he's sitting in his house. And he is about to break his fast and a fine meal is brought to him. A fine meal is brought to him. And at that time he remembers the early days. He remembers the early days. And he says to the people around him that there were some companions of mine who left this world in the state that all of the mujahada they did for the sake of deen, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they didn't taste any of the fruits of it in this world. So they will get everything in the hereafter. And he was referring to Mus'ab ibn Umayr radiallahu anhu, the likes of him. And then he said, referring to himself, that they are the likes of me who are eating some of the fruits of our mujahada in this world. And then he started crying that Allah Ta'ala is giving me the fruits of my mujahada in this world. So what if my portion of the hereafter decreases? The point I am trying to make is that difficulty for a mu'min, we shouldn't wish for difficulty. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us to be humble in front of Allah Ta'ala. To make dua to Allah Ta'ala that, oh Allah, we are weak. We can't handle difficulty. Make life easy for us. We can't handle sickness. Give us health. We can't handle poverty. Keep us at ease financially. But at the same time, when difficulty comes upon a person, then number one, he should remain patient. He shouldn't think, why is this happening to me? I am a mu'min. There are so many people who don't have iman and they are wealthier than I am. I am a regular performer of salah. I tried my best to practice upon deen. But there are so many people who I am worse off than them. He shouldn't worry about this. In fact, whilst the natural grief and sadness of adversity will stay with him, at the same time, he should feel happy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to progress. So the times of ease, a person can progress by climbing the stairs. And in the times of adversity, he is progressing through the elevator. That is why in a hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires that a servant of his reaches a certain high stage in Jannah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees that this servant of mine, this is the stage that I desire for him in Jannah, but he is not doing those a'mal that will make him reach that stage, then what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings adversity upon him. And in that adversity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him the tawfiq to do sabr. And through that sabr, he reaches that stage. That tells us that sabr is one of those a'mal that makes a person progress very, very fast in the hereafter. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses that person to do that amal. So we as Muslims have nothing to worry about if adversity comes upon us. If adversity comes upon another portion of the ummah as well, like what is going on in Palestine and other countries, then naturally we should feel sadness. We should make dua. But at the same time, we should also feel content that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants a lot of khair for these people in the hereafter. And when we see them in the hereafter, then that sadness we feel, sometimes tears come out as well. What is happening to them? No one is helping them. Then that will be cured and it will be exchanged with happiness and joy when we see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving them in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand this and practice upon it. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Everyone is requested, just fill in the gaps, please. It will make it easier for the people coming afterwards.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha
اللهم رب العالمين
Yes, two announcements before we begin. The first is that the time goes back this weekend. So from next week, the Jummah khutbah will be at 10 past 1. So from next week, the Jummah khutbah will be at 10 past 1. And as a result, the bayan will start usually. The bayan usually starts 20 minutes before. So 10 to 1. So those who can participate in the bayan should try to do so. 15 minutes every week is not a long time. And the other announcement is that this Sunday, Isha is at 7:30, and after 7:30, our monthly program will take place. So there will be talks. A person will get a chance to learn new masail. So brothers are also requested to participate in this as well.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya al-salah, hayya al-salah, hayya al-falah, hayya al-falah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. لا إله إلا الله.
الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين. وقد قال تعالى: إنما يوفى الصابرون أجرهم بغير حساب. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: أجبا لأمر المؤمن، إن أمره كله له خير، إن أصابته سراء شكر فكان خيرا له، وإن أصابته ضراء صبر فكان خيرا له. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: أشد الناس بلاء الأنبياء، ثم الأمثل فالأمثل، أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى. الحمد لله، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته، ورضى اللهم عن الخلفاء الراشدين وعن سائر الصحابة. فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: أصحابي كالنجوم، بأيهم اقتديتم اهتديتم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى. اللهم من أحييته منا فأحيه على الإسلام، ومن توفيته منا فتوفه على الإيمان. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم واغفر لموتانا. عباد الله، رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون.
الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح. قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
سووا صفوفكم سفدوا السلام عليكم Straighten the rows. Please ensure your heels at the base of the yellow line on the musalla. Please fill any gaps in. Stand shoulder to shoulder. If there are any gaps in the saf in front of you, then please fill them in. الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمد. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.